Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to The Cap, where we are here to speak with college reps and other professionals in the field of college admissions to help answer all your questions and guide you through every step of the process. So if you're serious about college admissions, you've come to the right place. Are you ready? Let's talk about it. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Durante. Welcome to The Cap, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Brian Rothstein, who's the Director of External Relations in the Office of Undergraduate Admissions at Hofstra University. Brian, thank you so much for being here today. I've been trying to get Hofstra on for so long since you're right in my backyard. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much, John. Thanks for having us. And we are so excited to be here and officially part of your podcast. So thank you for this opportunity. And we're excited to be here.
Well, that's awesome. And I'm excited as well. So I know that Hofstra obviously is in a beautiful suburb here out on Long Island, 25 miles from New York City. I know you have about 175 undergraduate programs, 200 graduate programs, 12 schools, including liberal arts and sciences, education, government and politics, humanities, fine and performing arts, nursing, business, law, engineering. You have something for everyone, Brian. So tell me, what else is it about Hofstra University that makes it so appealing for so many students to want to apply and ultimately attend?
Absolutely, John. And I think, you know, you really hit a good nail on the head there. You know, we are that like perfect distance, 25 miles east of New York City. So it's not the hustle bustle of New York, but the accessibility to New York City is outstanding. We capitalize on that as an extension of our classroom for experiential learning and opportunities for fun things like, you know, students going to see Broadway shows or museums or different things like that, but then also get that coastal vibe of being close to Long Island beaches for internships and experiential learning and opportunities and all sorts of different pieces. So really looking at New York City with that experiential piece and the internships and the job opportunities and the coastal vibe of being close to Long Island beaches and that kind of fun stuff, which, you know, I don't have to sell you on, but the cool things that are really awesome there. You know, one of the really awesome things too is that, just like you said, we have something for everyone, right? Those students who want that sciencey, that STEM piece of it. So whether it be engineering or medical school or nursing, you know, we're the only college university partnered with Northwell Health Systems. Northwell Health is the largest health system in the state of New York and one of the largest in the nation. And we're the only college university partnered with them. And that's medical school, PA, physician assistant, and nursing. We have a new nursing facility that just opened, some of the most advanced technology on the East Coast. It's so brand new. I keep joking with everyone that like the paint still smells like paint in the building. So it's just this really awesome opportunity. But then you have the flip side of those students who really don't have an interest in that science piece, that they graduated from high school and they're like, never want to take a science class ever again. Hmm. And they want to be a dancer, or they want to be a musician, or they want to work in music business, which is a really popular major with us here at Hofstra, where students are working in this recording studio and having an opportunity to be able to do all sorts of awesome things and maybe don't have that musical talent, but want to be, you know, Jay-Z's next producer and have an opportunity to be able to do that. So you have this happy, you know, opportunity for students to get involved in all sorts of different things, but also an opportunity for, like you said, over 175 different majors for students to choose from and so many things in so many different lights.
Well, like you said, the vicinity to New York City, the Long Island beaches, 12 schools, partnerships with Northwell, your new nursing school. And by the way, your average class size I read is about 21. Yep. And the student faculty ratio is 13 to 1. So that's again, correct. Truly an awesome school. So Brian, can you tell us about any other recent developments or initiatives at Hofstra? And what are the university's priorities for the future?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. You know, so we're always evolving, right? We are always making sure our students have an opportunity to have that experiential piece. So experiential learning is a huge piece of our community. Our students are involved in all sorts of different experiences with, on average, about 2 internships while they're with us. And the graduation rate of our students is outstanding too. Over 90% of them are either enrolled in graduate school or employed upon leaving us within 6 months of leaving us. So the success of our students is unbelievable. And that's because of the small class sizes, like you mentioned. On average, there's 21 students in a class. So they're not walking into a classroom of 440 people and they're all vying for that two spots at ABC or NBC or at Northwell or whatever it may be, they're gaining this experience. And the professors hold the highest degree in their field or and often are still connected to the field. So, you know, students who, you know, have an interest in working at Boeing, right? We have professors that have done that. Maybe not something to talk about now in our world, but working at Boeing and have that experience. Or students that have an interest in, you know, TV, film, radio. We are the only college university in the nation that broadcasts on behalf of a professional sports team. So anything heard on the radio about the New York Islanders, which is NHL hockey here on Long Island, is produced, directed, written, and broadcasted by our Hofstra students. So that experience is just so awesome. And then those students have that experience of saying, this is what I've done. I've literally spoke at a hockey game. I've called shots at a hockey game, and this is what I want to do. I was just on earlier today with some of my colleagues, and they had a student who they said, you know, left a Long Island high school, wasn't sure what she wanted to do, thought she wanted to be a lawyer. And she's actually the news anchor on the ABC affiliate in Louisiana. Wow. All because of an internship that she had with ABC while she was here. They loved her. They recommended her. And she's the news anchor on the local affiliate news in the evening time in Louisiana. And she was a shy student from a Long Island-based high school that they were like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. And here she is. So, you know, we are always there to ensure that our students are successful. And one of the biggest things we want is the success of our students, because their success is our success as an institution. And that's really the biggest thing. And to really, you know, hone in on your question, we are always evolving with technology too. So anytime something new comes out, anytime we have an opportunity to be able to evolve, you know, even during the odd pandemic world, we were still building, putting up a new nursing building, changing and evolving, adding new opportunities, adding new majors, changing majors, altering majors based off of interest, altering majors based off of students sharing with us what they had a passion for. So we are always evolving. We have a new president that started with us. So she's, you know, she's here about 2 years now. Awesome, awesome, awesome experience. And she has brought so much to the table too, and helping our students to grow, and helping our institution to grow, you know, and it's something that is nationally recognized really as an institution, Division I sports teams, different things along those lines, but really growing even further, and really honing in on that small class size, the experiential piece, and the opportunities available to our students. And that's one of the things that really is important and is part of our next stages in life is really having all those different opportunities for students and really having that experiential learning for students and taking it to the next level.
Well, I appreciate that. I love how you talked about your new president, D1 Sports, again, the small class sizes. And I really appreciate that you said their success is your success. And I know firsthand how much work Hofstra has done over the years to cultivate all of those amazing programs, both inside of your classrooms and beyond. You talked about your philosophy in terms of experiential learning, a lot of real world applications for your students. I didn't know an average of 2 internships, which I really think is phenomenal to not only give your students an education, but really set them up for whatever career paths they choose after they graduate the great school of Hofstra University. So, Brian, I'm also curious, can you tell us more about the student life experience at Hofstra and what kinds of extracurricular activities and organizations are available to them?
Absolutely. You know, I think that's a great question. One of the things I really want to point out with this too is that at Hofstra, you know, medium-sized institution, about 6,200 undergraduate students, and students come to us from 48 states and 90 countries. So I say that for 2 reasons. Reason number 1 is that students are coming with experiences and interests from all over the world and all over the nation. And that is awesome because they bring so much to the table. You know, we have upwards of 210 student clubs and organizations here at Hofstra. Things from like Quidditch, you know, I laugh because all colleges say that they have that fun Quidditch piece, but it's a cool and unique thing, you know, and it's unique in the sense of that colleges do offer it. But when I went to college, that was not even something that was thought of, right? But there are so many different things from students coming and bringing interest and finding others that have an interest and then that building into a club organization. And each year we see new clubs and organizations pop up because students bring that interest to our community. And that makes really such a huge difference. We have club and intramural sports, so playing amongst other students at Hofstra or other students at local institutions as well. And those are really competitive too, you know, and that runs alongside our D1 sports teams. We have 21 Division I sports teams. We are in the CAA, it's the Coastal Athletic League, and we're, you know, we're in good company. Stony Brook, Monmouth, University of Delaware, so University of North Carolina, Wilmington. So some really good, strong teams that we play against. And you know, one of the cool things I like to point out, we're the Hofstra Pride. And everyone talks about this, and it's a cool thing to think about because Long Island Lions, so many people have lions as their mascots. And, you know, we have two lions, a lion and lioness, and it's namesake to Mr. and Mrs. Hofstra that really own the land where our institution was founded. So two lions from the Lion King days make up a pride. So we're the Hofstra Pride. So kind of a cool, that's unique, awesome, fun fact feature that I always like to talk about. But one of the really cool things about those clubs and organizations is that students gain experiences through that too. We have students that will go off and do internship opportunities, do research opportunities, get involved in different pieces, have had jobs that have come out of their clubs and organizations. An example, criminology, really awesome major here at Hofstra. We have a law school too, which is super cool, forensic science. And we've actually had students that have done research opportunity that has come forward through their forensic science club that has turned into internship experiences. And we've actually heard of students that it has turned into job experiences too. So that, you know, a career choice in pieces, just based off of their interest in being what we call CSI Hofstra, the crime scene investigation, really awesome, really cool stuff that really has turned around because of that breadth of so many different clubs and organizations. We have 22 Greek letter organizations on campus. So if students want to be part of Greek life, it's absolutely there. And if they don't, that's okay. You know, it's the student's decision. And one of the things I always like to point out to students when they ask that question is, Greek life's there. Is it up in your face? No. Is it there if you want it to be? 100%. Are you going to feel outcasted if you're not part of it? Not at all. And that's one of the cool things too, and I think is important to know.
Well, that's terrific. And I appreciate how you talked about you have students from throughout the country and throughout the world, over 200 student clubs and organizations. Again, really sounds like there's something for everyone. And you're so mindful of all the great programs that you offer, not only in your classes, but also outside, which again, helps students not only have a great time while they're at Hofstra, but prepare them for whatever is to come after graduation. So, Brian, let's talk a little bit about the actual application review process itself.
Absolutely.
What is Hofstra's approach to the admissions process, particularly in terms of the criteria and other factors considered when reviewing applications? Of course, this is something important for so many students and their parents. So take your time, and whatever insights you could share would be greatly appreciated.
You know, John, that's a great question. And this is one of my favorite things to talk about. And I'll tell you why. You know, the admission process is scary. And it is something that for many years of doing this, that folks, it's nerve-wracking. It makes students and their families nervous. It makes students and their families anxious. And it's a nerve-wracking time. One of the one thing I say to students very often is that it's stressful right now, but in a year's time, it will be something that will be in your rearview mirror, and it's not something you have to think about. So yes, it's a stressor right now. It's most important on your list, but take a deep breath and we'll make it through together. One of the things here at Hofstra that I think is so important too is that we're very personalized. We know our students. We get to know them from the start, and that makes such a difference in the process. And what I mean by personalized is our outreach, our communications, all sorts of different pieces from our Office of Admission really showcases to them their time with us at Hofstra and what it will be like, but also who we are as an office. So one of the things that we do is that we actually start that outreach process even early on in their research, and really early on in their process of admission. They can apply to us through either the Common App or the Hofstra application. We don't have a preference over one or the other. It looks the same to us on the receiving end. And what I say to students too as well is that take your time. Deep breaths, everything like that. We are a holistic review institution. So we really look at everything. And you know, you'll hear that from colleges and universities. But when I say we look at everything, we read every essay. We read every letter of recommendation. We read every resume. We read every piece of why Hofstra or any piece of information that is submitted on behalf of a student or a student submits on behalf of themselves is something that our office actually reads because it gives us an experience to get to know the student in a whole bubble, right? The grades are what they are. Looking at students' GPAs, looking at students' transcripts, they are what they are. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't always reflect who they are as an individual. So we want to know why it might not reflect them. Did they encounter something? Do they want to tell us a story? Is there something they experienced during their high school career that changed who they were? So we want to learn about them as an applicant and as an individual person too. So that's really why we take that full approach of reading about who they are as individuals. So what we do is we look through all their different pieces. So, you know, we look at their high school transcript. We look at their trend in grades. So how did they start off high school and how are they doing? what have they taken in comparison to what's offered at their school? You know, are they taking AP classes that are offered? Are they taking IB classes? Are they taking college level classes that are offered through a joint institution or anything like that? So those are all taken into consideration. You know, one of the things I also say about resumes is it gives us an opportunity and experience to also see what they're doing outside the classroom. You know, I say to students all the time, we want to know what you're doing outside the classroom. And there are some students who feel picking up a younger sibling is not something that impresses colleges, but it does impress us. It showcases to us leadership. It showcases responsibilities. It showcases so many different things to us. So we encourage students to share with us what it is they're doing outside the classroom. As awesome and crazy and unique of volunteering with a PA to picking up their younger siblings or working at the local ice cream shop. You know, it gives us an experience to be able to, or gives us information to be able to really pull apart and see students as well. The same thing with letters of recommendation. We love to see them. We love to hear from folks around a student's community. And that's not only in their school community. So yes, there has to be an academic one, but we encourage them to look at outside ones as well. So if they babysit for their next door neighbor's children, if they, you know, work at the Dunkin' Donuts up the road, if they are on a sports team, if they volunteer or part of a club or organization at their school, it gives us an opportunity to see them in a multitude of sheds of light to really talk about their character, their academics, who they are, what they're doing, and showcases to us as well some of the things they can do in our community in addition to that as well. One of the other things with the essays is we really read them. I mean, John, we like literally take them apart. We sit there and we read lines, each individual line. So, you know, we like to get to know the students because it gives us an experience, and that's an opportunity for them to share information with us that maybe you don't see in their transcript or maybe you don't see in the different pieces. So you hear me talk about all these things, but you didn't hear me mention SAT or ACT scores. So at Hofstra, and I'm sure that was coming up with one of your questions, at Hofstra, we actually have been test optional for quite some time. I think we're going on about 9 years now at this point of being test optional. So not everyone is a test taker, and that is okay. You know, one of the things that we say to students and to be super transparent is we work in the Office of Admission, right? Our job is to help admit students to college. So we'll be transparent with them. If they email us and say, hey, I got this on the SATs, will it benefit me? We'll flat out tell them if it does or does not. Right. And we're transparent about it because we want, again, to see them be successful, right? And there's, why would you set someone up for failure if that's not who we are, right? We don't want them to fail. We want them to succeed, and we want to give them that opportunity and experience. There are some programs that do require it. You know, when we have a accelerated PA program, there's a medical school program that's super selective. So those two still require it. And at most institutions, they usually do as well. But really, there's 170 plus programs that students are more than welcome to be test optional about.
Well, we really appreciate you talking about the fact that Hofstra University has been test optional, but you also warned, beware, if you're applying to a more rigorous major, such as your accelerated PA program, that program in this case actually needs the test score. So students, it's very important to check the website for the latest and greatest information. It's the general application, whether or not a school is test optional or not. But if you're applying to a rigorous major, right, or a competitive major, find out whether or not they require the test for that. I also love how you explained your holistic review, but more importantly, what you said, we really get to know our students. I think that's phenomenal. You talked about how you look at the high school transcript, right? You look at the grades in high school to help determine whether or not the student could handle the academics on your campus. You talked about trends in grades, right? If there's any dips, students, don't let the admissions representative speculate. Explain why there was a dip, if in fact there was. You talked about looking at the school profile, perhaps, right? So that you could see, does the school offer AP, dual enrollment, IB? And based on what's available to the students, did they take chances? Did they challenge themselves over their 4 years of high school? Did they build those ramps? Also, you talked about the activity sheet in terms of whether a student has to pick up a sibling or perhaps they have a job, right, at the local ice cream shop. Those are all things that show leadership, responsibility. And if in fact, students, if you have a job, maybe that's the reason why you're not participating in 4, 6, whatever it is, clubs in your high school. So again, look at the overall application as a marketing packet. I say this all the time, understanding that each piece, there's a specific reason, whether it's your transcript, your activity sheet, your essay, and each piece has to build upon the next, giving new information for the admissions representative to get to know you. Now, Brian, I have to ask, because you talked about the why Hofstra essay specifically. So is there ever a time when a student is answering the why Hofstra essay and you're in fact able to determine that it's kind of like a cut and paste, right? Because I would imagine that what you're looking for in the why Hofstra question is, does the student really understand what we have to offer? Why do they see themselves there? And how do they intend to contribute to this great community that we call Hofstra University? What do you have to say about that why Hofstra essay, Brian?
Yeah, that's a good question, John. You know, there are students who really take that question to heart and really sit down and think about it. You know, one of the things I've heard from students before is they wait till they come to visit. And sometimes their applications take a little bit longer because they come out and visit with us because they really want to know that they're sharing with us as an admission team why Hofstra. And to your point, John, you know, one of the things that's important is we want to know why. And exactly like you said, you know, is it, you can see yourself in our community? Do you see yourself sitting in our classroom? Do you see yourself majoring in one of the awesome, you know, 175 plus majors that we offer? Do you see yourself kicking a soccer ball across one of our soccer fields? You're standing on the stage, sitting in an audience for one of our shows in our 8 plus theaters, you know, things like that. And we really want to hear that. There are some students who will give us short pieces of information. I want a tour to look nice. Yeah, sure. Okay, that's helpful. But we really want to know. And it helps us as an office to know that you can see yourself as part of our community. It really does drive home so many different things for us as an office and as a team.
Well, I appreciate that. And students, whether a school reports that they track demonstrated interest, it's very important if you can visit campus, engage in the emails that you receive, open the links, do your research, do a virtual event if they offer it. So students, whether a school reports tracking demonstrated interest as part of their overall application review, it's very important to do certain things, such as when you see a rep at a college fair, speak to them. If you could visit campus, definitely go on the tour, ask all of your questions, not only of the tour guide, but of the random student, do your research online, be part of virtual events if they offer it, so that when you answer a question such as why Hofstra, you'll be better equipped to answer that question and demonstrating your understanding of their programs, why you see yourself there, and how you intend to contribute. So having said all of that, Brian, what are some of the things that students do to demonstrate their interest in attending Hofstra University, of course, and does it come into play at any point in your overall application review process?
That is an awesome question, John. And, you know, one of the things I say to students all the time is, you know, you honed in on so many important pieces. Talking to the admission representative at a college fair, visiting a college, staying in communication with the admission representative is so, so, so important. You know, demonstrated interest at every college and university is different. One of the things that we say to students all the time is, if we've started a conversation with you or if you've started a conversation with us and we continue that conversation, do it. Continue the conversation in either fronts. You know, one of the things, to your point, if I'm at a college fair and a student comes up and introduces themselves to me or fills out one of our cards or scans our QR code or whatever it may be, right, we stay in communication with them, right? That's the point of why we do what we do. That's why we work in an office, in an admission office, right? To continue with that conversation, the communication, and continue with the importance of why that is. So we do track it to a point, you know, seeing how many times they've interacted with us. Have they been out to visit? Have they joined some of our virtual or in-person event? Have they been to an open house? Have they been to, you know, a event on campus? All those different pieces, or off campus, all those different pieces come into play. Do we look at it in regards to different pieces? Yeah, very much so. You know, how many times have you interacted with us? Will that come in with a scholarship committee piece? Yeah, to a point, it really will. So, you know, it's so important to, one, inquire with schools about demonstrated interest, but two, demonstrate the interest. You know, actually right. Do it. Reach out to us. Stay in communication with us. We are our email kings and queens because we really try to stay in communication with our students and ask and answer those questions. And ask those questions. You know, John, I'll tell you a quick story. I'm a storyteller. I'm a New Yorker, so I'll tell you that quick story. someone had talked about this when I was looking at colleges many moons ago. And my admission counselor, you know, we had been back and forth communication wise, and I work in the field for almost 14 years now. And actually my admission counselor still works in the field. And we wow. joked recently, I searched back through my email from high school and actually found the email back and forth that I had wrote to
That's
her
awesome.
When I was admitted to the school I went to. And I was so excited. And we also found out that ironically, my computer must've had some sort of meltdown, and my response to her was in hot pink. So it was a joke and it was really funny, but it was an awesome experience. And we recognized each other, when I got to my institution because of that communication, and we want that. And it's demonstrating to us that you really have a passion and see yourself as part of our community.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that story. And I have to say, what I also appreciate is you talked about how it was such a long time ago and you talked about email. So Brian, just to put it into perspective, when I was applying to colleges, there wasn't such thing as email. Okay. So I just want to put that in perspective out there for you. So digging deeper in terms of the overall application review process, obviously the GPA is something that is extremely important. So what could you tell us about the GPA in terms of, for example, do you use the GPA on the transcript or do you recalculate it yourself?
That's a good question, John. So, you know, when we're looking at students' applications, again, we talked a little bit about that holistic review, right? So we're looking at the trend in grades. We're looking at their overall GPA. We're really looking at the different pieces overall in regards to them as a student. So students, when applying to Hofstra, can apply Hofstra App Common App, kind of as we mentioned. We are an early action institution. So early action is non-binding. Mm-hmm. We have two different early action deadlines. So just a reminder, folks, there, early action, early decision. We are not an early decision institution. That's a binding decision with an institution. Our early action, you hear earlier on. So early action one, November 15th, and they'll receive a decision from us by December 15th. So it's a pretty quick turnaround time for us to get decisions out to them. Early action two for us is December 15th with decisions by January 15th. So again, pretty quick turnaround time there as well. And then after that, we become a rolling admission institution all the way up until when classes begin. So usually about a 3 to 4 week turnaround time of students receiving an admission decision from us. When we're looking at that holistic piece overall, students have on average about a 3.8 overall high school GPA, about a 93 on the 100-point scale, but a B plus, A minus B plus on the A to F scale. But again, it's that holistic piece. So that's an average. That's not what we're looking for in regards to admission. That's not, hey, if you don't have a 3.8, if you don't have a 93, you're not being admitted. It's pulling those pieces together. And that's really where that holistic piece comes together. That's where that demonstrated interest piece we just talked about comes together. That's where all those different items really come together overall. We tell students, and I'm going to go back to your question about the GPA and pulling it off the transcript. We tell students as well, if you have above a 1230 on the SATs or above a 27 on the ACTs, it's actually beneficial for you to submit them. And as I mentioned before, you know, yes, absolutely. If you're not sure, if you don't know, we do super score them. So that's something to note. We super score SATs and ACTs. But, you know, if you're not sure whether to submit them or not, reach out and we'll be super transparent with you. Everyone has an admission counselor from their areas, from everywhere in every country, in every state, everywhere. And it's on our website. So again, that's a good way to demonstrate the interest. I'm going to hone in on that again. That's a good way to demonstrate the interest is reach out to your admission counselor. We're all there with our smiling faces, the big map of the United States and big map of the world, actually, for folks to click on it and be able to do that. And just a quick note, as I mentioned before about the test optional piece, over 60% of our students last year actually applied test optional. So it is fairly wow. normal for students to apply test optional because not everyone feels like it resonates with them. So that's an important point. But to your question of you know, taking that GPA off the transcript, for the most part, we usually take it off the transcript, right? Because it's a true GPA. And to your point from before as well, we really get to know our schools very well. So like looking at the high school profile, looking at what's being offered, looking at the weight in transcripts or in GPAs is something that's taken into consideration as well. If there is a big varying factor between an unweighted and weighted GPA, there are times we will look through it and kind of see, you know, if someone's unweighted GPA, and I'm just going to use it on the 100-point raw scale, is mm-hmm. 85, and their weighted GPA is 105, well, there's a pretty big difference between the two of those, right? So we'll probably pull some of that part to like see what it looks like. But for the most part, we'll usually take it right off their transcript because it's true. It's who they are, right? We want to make sure that that's the piece.
Well, I really appreciate you pulling back the curtain and giving us some insight in terms of your application review process. And I also appreciate how you keep emphasizing reach out to your admissions counselor. You know, one of the reasons why we have this podcast is because so many people, they might be afraid to reach out. And yet, it's a common theme, like definitely reach out. You certainly don't want to reach out and ask a question like, what's your mid 50%, right? Which is easily found on your website. But do your research, come up with, you know, higher order thinking questions, and certainly reach out to the admissions representative. Perhaps you visited campus, shoot them an email, let them know what your impressions were. Again, just to keep that relationship going. And speaking of that, Brian, visiting campus is such an important part of the college research process, if in fact you can. So if a student is able to visit, what are the types of questions that they should be asking to help them determine whether or not Hofstra University is the right fit for them?
You know, John, that's a great question too. And one of the things I will say to you, and I will probably for the next couple minutes that we're together or whatnot, I will say that that is one of the biggest things I say to students all the time. You have to visit a campus. And whether it be in the review process, what I call the review process of them looking at schools, or the application process, they've already applied to that school, or the decision process when they've already received a decision and now they're trying to see if we fit who they are. It is really important because, you know, everything looks awesome on the internet. Everything looks awesome on paper. But until you are physically standing or sitting or eating on a campus, you don't know how you feel about it. So I think that's the biggest piece that's so important, because you have to make sure that the community fits who you are. And one of the things I drive home with students very often, and we do as an institution, is driving home the idea of fit. We want an institution to fit the students. And if it's our institution, which we hope it is, we want you to see it and feel it and know that that's the right fit for you. So one of the things we tell students and a piece of advice I encourage them to ask while they're visiting. One is ask about an interest of yours. So like, do they have clubs or organizations that match who you are as a student? Ask about the opportunities for research, internships, job opportunities, the ROI or the return on investment of the student population, because that's an important piece too, right? You know, you're graduating with this degree. Where is it going to take you? What's that opportunity that's going to do? What's the alumni network like? What does it look like? So I encourage students to ask questions like that. And I encourage students to ask questions about the process, right? What we just talked about. Yeah, they're hearing it from us here on this podcast, but ask that question when you're sitting in a community. So ask that question when you're sitting in our community. You know, what is it that highlights me as an applicant to you as an admission office? What is it that you want to hear from me as an applicant? Because everyone's different. Everyone has their own story. Everyone has their own path that they have taken thus far and will continue to take. And we want to know that about you. And again, that comes back to that personalization piece that starts in the application process and continues to and through their time with us and beyond the time of graduation as well.
Well, there's a lot of pearls there. First of all, visit, visit, visit. If you can't visit before applying, certainly if you're accepted, you owe it to yourself to visit before matriculating. And I appreciate how you talked about not only finding fit in the actual school itself, the campus itself, but also the surrounding community. You know, it's very important to visit so that you could see the school, but also, again, that surrounding community. I love how you talked about asking about ROI, return on investment, ask about alumni network, ask the admissions rep, what do you want to see from your applicants, you know, and see what they say. You know, maybe it'll give you a piece of advice to just help you enhance that overall application. So Brian, again, we really appreciate that. And just digging a little deeper in terms of the review process, we mentioned the school profile, which students, if you're not familiar with your school profile, many times the high school has it on their website. If not, go to your school counselor and see about getting a copy of it, so you get a really good idea in terms of what admissions reps are learning about your school. And so Brian, that leads to my next question, which is, if a school has multiple AP courses, let's say 20, another one really just has a few, maybe they only offer 5 or anything in between, how does the overall review process differ for schools that differ that much?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So we really take into consideration what's offered and what's accessible to students and what students are involving themselves with, right? So if a school offers 20 AP classes and a student takes one, right, they've challenged themselves, but maybe haven't taken that opportunity to challenge themselves as far as they possibly could. Maybe it was a reason of they didn't feel prepared. Maybe it was a reason of timing. Maybe it was a reason of not having the appropriate classes to step into that. So that's definitely something to think about. And in regards to a school offering 5 or 20, right, the student has no control over that. That's definitely a school-wide piece of it, but it's something that we'll know and we'll look at when we're looking at a student's application. So is that going to hinder a decision based off of one direction or the other? No, because again, it comes into that holistic review process, but that comes back to where we get to know the schools alongside the students. So if you're applying from a school and, you know, the center of the country that maybe we hadn't heard of before. We'll get to know that high school, especially through the school profile, or maybe even we'll reach out to the school and say, tell us a little bit more about your school. So we'll really dig that next layer deep to be sure that we're learning about the school, so we know also more about the student as well.
Well, we appreciate that. And students, remember, admissions reps, they're looking at what your school offers and how you challenge yourself over the 4 years of opportunity. And don't forget, by the way, senior year. They're not going to see your senior year grades when you're submitting your applications, but they're certainly looking at your courses in progress. And it's very important to not only maintain, but perhaps even build upon that rigor in senior year. Anything you want to say about that, Brian?
John, I know, but I thank you for saying that, because that is so important. And students often forget that. It's the senioritis kicks in, but it should not, because, you know, we're still seeing what they're taking in the courses that they're enrolled in. And we love to see that they're still challenging themselves, because the next step after high school is this collegiate experience. And we want to be sure that they're prepared for that. So taking courses that are maybe not preparing them for that collegiate step is going to hinder their success potentially, because they're not taking those more rigorous courses to prepare them for that next steps into higher education.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you so much. And of course, Brian, a student's activity sheet, another great piece of that overall application. What are the kinds of things you're looking for beyond the work they did in the classroom?
Yeah, that's a good question, John. So we love to see students involved in all sorts of different things. So again, if they have a job and that's what they're doing, we love to see that. If they're involved in a sports team, we love to see that. If they are doing research, we love to see that. It also depends upon a student's comfortability, a student's accessibility, a student's interest, right? So it really varies off of students and interest areas. You know, one of the things I hear from students very often, especially because of our popularity with medical school programs and that science STEM-based piece of it, students very often that are looking at like a pre-med track or a medical school track or PA feel they should have experienced some of that. You know, is it helpful? Sure. Is it going to hinder our admission decision? No. It will help, you know, the student to have known that they saw it, right? I you know, you want to be a doctor, but until you see someone bleed for the first time, maybe that's not really what you want to do. So we want to be sure that they're having some of that experience. But if they're coming in without that experience, that's okay. And I'm going to give you an example of that. You know, we have one of our really popular areas, School of Communication, our TV, film, radio, writing for the screen, writing for film, public relations, journalism, falls within our School of Comm. You know, the dean of the School of Communication has said to us multiple times, and to students looking at us, you can come in for filmmaking and know everything about how to use a camera, or you can come in with not even knowing where the on button is. And when you leave and graduate with us, you're all both going to have the exact same skill set and be prepared for those next steps, right? Hmm. So it is okay to not have that on your resume and not worry that you're stepping into something without experience. It's okay, right? You're a high school student. We want you to be successful in your classroom. And if the not being able to work at NBC or get an internship at NBC or an internship at your school's film studies area, it's okay that that doesn't happen, because you're focusing on your academics and you're being sure that you're an academically strong student taking rigorous courses. So maybe you've stepped away from an experience of that in on your resume, right? Or activity sheet. And that's okay. But you're still stepping into an experience that will get you to that next level at an institution like Hofstra, where it's that smaller community.
Well, I really appreciate that you mentioned that, because many times students do get intimidated knowing that other students have more experience in whatever it is, the field that they intend to pursue. But it's a reminder that college is a continuation of your education, you know, and maybe when you're writing that Why Hofstra essay, it's talking about your demonstrated understanding of Hofstra, how you see yourself there, how you see yourself contributing. But there was a rep that said something that resonated with me, and you just said a similar thing, which is, you know, understanding that students, you're not done. You know, the reason why you're going to college is to gain the skills, to gain the real world experiences, so that when you do go into the workforce, you'll be ready for whatever it is that you're going to take on. Would you agree with that, Brian?
1,000%.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, another piece of the overall application is the teacher's letter of recommendation. So what are you looking for when reading a teacher's letter of recommendation?
Yeah, that's really interesting you bring that up. So what we tell students is, you know, there's always that favorite teacher at school that so many students are all going to ask, right? And there comes a point where that teacher is not going to be able to write for every student. So a couple of things I remind students all the time is ask early. So start to prepare your teachers and your ideas of who you're going to ask. So early on is really important. So even if it's the end of junior year and we're thinking about who's going to write that letter of recommendation, it is important to start to have that conversation because you want to be sure that they know that this is coming. Because, you know, there's always that handful of as I mentioned, of teachers that are popular and that everyone wants to ask, but there's going to come a point where they're going to start to turn students away because they're not going to be able to write a strong letter for everyone. One of the other things I tell students all the time, too, is that we want to learn about you academically. So what I mean by that is if you want to major in something in English, but your math teacher knows you best, it's fine for your math teacher to write you a letter of recommendation because that those individuals see you in those academic lights. Sometimes you have a stronger relationship with a teacher that might not be in the subject area that you have a passion for, but might know you as an applicant and might know you as a student and knows you in a academic setting and can offer us the next layer of information that maybe your science teacher or your English teacher doesn't know because they haven't seen that. And just because you didn't vibe is the term I use with that teacher doesn't mean that that's not your area of expertise or not the area that you want to focus in. But sometimes you just don't vibe with the teacher teaching that class. But you vibe with the teacher that is teaching a class that really isn't going to be an area you're going to focus in. And that's okay because they're still telling us something about you academically. And that's really the important piece. You know, so we say to them, it's okay who it comes from. Is it helpful? Sure. But is it going to alter our decision back or forth based off of like it coming from a math teacher when you want to be a science major, or it coming from a science teacher if you want to be an English major? No. We just really wanted to learn about you as an applicant.
Well, those are great pieces of advice. Number one, students, ask early. And Brian, you're absolutely right. There are so many teachers that are so popular. The students really, you know, frankly, look up to them and adore them. But, you know, sometimes those teachers get dozens upon dozens of requests. So, yes, asking early is super important. And I also like the insight that you gave that, you know, for example, if a student is looking to major in English, it's okay to ask your English teacher for that letter of recommendation if, in fact, that's the teacher that knows you best. But if it happens to be a math or a science teacher that knows you best, even though you intend to major in English, that's fine, right? Because it's what we talked about earlier where you want every piece of the application to build upon the next. So if there's a specific teacher who teaches something that's not in your major, but that you know that they're going to add a great piece, something more in your overall application, it's totally fine, as Brian said, to ask that teacher. So we appreciate that, Brian. And I was wondering, can you explain the opportunities Hofstra offers students that may have had an IEP or a 504 while in high school in terms of helping to ensure that they continue to be successful once they're on your campus?
That absolutely. And, you know, we want students to be successful. You heard me mention before, student success is our success as an institution, right? So we offer all sorts of opportunities for students that came from a community that had an IEP or a 504, and students that really just maybe need that extended time or need to take an exam in a different room, or just need a note taker, right? So we have all sorts of opportunities for students to be sure that they're successful. So we have a program for academic learning skill, our PALS community, which is an outstanding program. It is a fee-for-service program, but it is an outstanding program for students that might have a learning difference and need that additional support. And it's something that they can be part of, and it's molded around each individual student. And that falls within our Student Access Services Office, also known as SAS. So one of the fun things about Hofstra is that we're really big on acronyms and we're really big on acronym websites. So if students want to learn more, hofstra.edu/SAS brings you to the Student Access Services website that also offers information about our PALS community and such like that as well. It is outstanding. It is really supportive to our students because we want to see them be successful. So whatever those services that students may have been receiving in high school, we work our hardest to be sure that they are getting the same services or more or similar or altered based off of what their classes are to ensure that they're successful. So whatever that may be, we also have tutoring services for everyone. Our Center for Academic Excellence, or CAE, offers an experience for students that need that additional support there too, or going for tutoring services. And one of the things I will say, and just stepping to that for 1 second, it is okay to ask for help. And I think that's one of the biggest things students get nervous about, especially as they step into their higher learning, is asking for help. Tutoring is very normal and very normalized in college. And it is okay to ask that you're not sure about something, or go and visit with a professor, or go speak with an upperclassman, or go to that tutoring services, whatever it may be, if you need that assistance, because the success is important to us. The success is important to you. The success is important to your families. And that's really where you find that. So SAS, really helpful for the students that need that additional support and maybe, you know, have a, coming with an IEP or a 504. Our Center for Academic Excellence that's also offering that, those pieces, our PALS community. There are so many different layers of support. And then, John, I'm going to take it one step further. I hope you don't mind. One of the things I also like to point out is mental health counseling, right? We really want students in that strong mental space as well to be sure that they're there. So we have free mental health counseling for our students and mental health services. So there are opportunities for students to do that as well. So there are so many different layers of it, because students need to be in good mind, body, spirit to be really taking that next level and being academically successful, right? Because the success, the pieces, that next layer is what gets you to that job, that career, and those next stages of your life. And you know, all these different pieces I just highlighted really help get students to those pieces.
Well, that's a fantastic answer. I love how you emphasize it is okay to ask for help. Students, I'm going to say that again. It is okay to ask for help. There's tutoring services for everyone, because everyone needs tutoring services at some point throughout college. You have mental health services. You talked about your SAS office. You talk about your PALS community. So many pieces of information. Brian, you probably know, I put the Office of Undergraduate Admissions, the link, in the show notes. If there's anything else you want me to link to share with the students and their parents, just send it to me. And again, we'll make it available in the show notes. Brian, this has been a phenomenal conversation. Before I ask the last question, I just want to ask, because I want to make sure that we have a comprehensive review of everything that HASA has to offer. Is there a question that I didn't ask today, or a topic that didn't come up that you'd like to leave with us now?
Thanks, John, for asking that. One of the things I really want to bring up is Hofstra is a institution nationally recognized for so many different programs and experiences and opportunities, and we bring so much to the table. And I want students to know that you will always find that right fit institution, but visit with Hofstra, look at our website, review the pieces, contact us, because I think that there really is something for everyone. It's not for everyone, but it's for most people. And I would say there's something really for everyone. And it's so important to see it, because there is always a college fit out there for everyone. But research, take a look and see that. So I really want to drive home the idea that we really do have so many experiences, so many opportunities for everyone. And that experiential learning piece is so big. And those small class sizes really hone in and drive home so many opportunities for students. So really important to think about that.
Well, I really appreciate that. And like I said earlier, being someone that now lives on Long Island, I've been on the Hofstra campus so many times, and it really is a beautiful campus for everyone to see. Whether it ends up being the right fit or not, it's just such a beautiful campus with so many different schools, programs in the classroom and beyond to offer, that you really owe it to yourself, students, to give it a look. Again, Brian, this has been a phenomenal conversation. I can't thank you enough. It does lead us to the last question, which is, what are the top three pieces of advice you would provide a student and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
John, I love this question, and I say this to families all the time, and I will, you know, families who have visited with, I always leave with some thoughts, and this is, I'm going to leave you with some of my thoughts. Visit. We've talked about it, and I am going to hone it in and drive it home one more time. So important to visit. My other thing, I hate telling people how to feel, but it is a stressful time, but don't be stressed. There is a fit and a school out there for everyone. There is an experience out there for everyone, and you will find that fit. You will find that experience, and you will find that right place for you. And if you don't, there's an opportunity to transfer. There's an opportunity to find that other fit for you at a later time, and it is okay to find it. And the other thing I always say is, smile, be excited. This is the next journey into the next steps of your life. And this is really where students become who they are, become that adult that carries them into the next pieces of their lives. And I think it's so important to know that you're on a journey, and this is literally, really, truly that next chapter that can really start and write so many of the rest of the chapters of their lives.
Well, that was really beautifully said, Brian. I really can't thank you enough. This was an awesome conversation. Hofstra University is obviously so lucky to have you, as were we, on this podcast episode. I'm so happy, as I know that it's going to help so many students and their parents as they navigate the college admissions process. I do hope to have you again, Brian. You are awesome. We appreciate you.
Thanks, John. Thank you so much. And thanks for having us. And folks, hope to see you soon.
Absolutely. And one last thing to say to everyone out there, good luck with your college search. Best wishes to all. Take care.
See you soon.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP. Thank you for listening to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to PrepExpert.com to guarantee your child's success.